Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Who am I to disagree with Sidney Crosby but agree to disagree? I don't think Tristan Jarry could have handled it any better. Really? Because I don't think he could have handled it much worse since he came back from the American League. The breaking news 2 minutes ago, the Penguins placed Tristan Jarry on waivers. Our two most successful sports teams are the Steelers and Penguins. Steelers more historical with the six Super Bowls, and the Penguins more recently with the back-to-back Stanley Cups and the 09 Stanley Cup, the three in the Sidney Crosby era. The two most important positions in our town are quarterback and goalie. And both of our teams have managed to mangle the crap out of those two positions. The Steelers have no answer. We're going to debate. Donnie, this is the most depressing thing. Donnie is like looking up contract projections for Justin Fields on salary cap websites before the show, trying to talk ourselves into a quarterback that Mike Tomlin benched midseason for next year. And then you've got the Penguins, who have three more years of Tristan Jarry at over $5 million. And I think fans don't really understand what waivers mean just based on the responses I've seen to this move. He's not getting cut, folks. He's not getting released.
Team would have to claim him.
That's not happening.
Josh Yowie was asked point blank on Twitter by Bob Pompiani, "Josh, any chance a team claims Jarry?" Josh's response: better chance the Steelers win a hypothetical rematch with the Ravens. He ain't getting claimed. He's an albatross.
He's been demoted to the minor leagues is what happened.
He's getting sent to a nice farm upstate, basically. He's getting demoted to the minors. In the offseason, they are most likely going to get themselves some small relief. I think they can use a buyout at that point. I don't think they'll be strapped in that position because you can only use a certain number. They'll buy him out.
Oh, they're going to buy him out instead of Ryan Graves, huh? They're going to pick Jarry over...
Well, that's another part. That's the two
defenseman
who sucks.
Who sucks and gets healthy scratched and makes almost the same amount of money and has more years on his contract.
What is he, the eighth defenseman probably in reality on their roster? Yeah, Kyle Dubas' first two major moves, two huge flops. Horrible.
Donnie, the two most polarizing, two most important positions in Pittsburgh sports, quarterback and goaltender, are both steaming piles of whale manure right now. I guess whale manure wouldn't steam because it's in the water. Elephant crap. Right?
When you put it that way, it's a lot better.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Steelers currently have one quarterback that's actually under contract, and it's Skylar Thompson.
Don't worry. We had somebody call the sports call last night and say, I think they're going to keep Russell Wilson because Skylar Thompson and Justin Fields are basically the same kind of player.
I heard Joe Starkey say he's interested in Daniel, mildly interested. I don't want to put words in Joe's mouth. I love Joe. Mildly interested in Daniel Jones today to be the Steelers' next quarterback.
Grim times.
Grim? I was thinking about this. When has there been a worse time? Now, the Steelers made the playoffs, but were embarrassed, and they've gotten mutilated and punked in these games, disemboweled in these playoff games. There hasn't been a worse time in our lifetimes, Chris. You know, people might want to speak on the late 80s.
Pirates were on the rise, though, and by 1990,
and they had Mario, and we had Mario here.
Lemieux and the Penguins were clearly on the rise themselves.
I don't care if they were missing the playoffs by 5 points, 10 points, or 15 points. You had one of the greatest phenoms and one of the greatest players in the history of the sport in his embryonic years. That beats what we have right now. I mean, the closest comparison would be Paul Skeens, but he only plays one out of every five games.
Also, the Steelers went to the conference title game in
84, so you can't say then.
Had a couple of middling to bad years, but then did something that this year's Steelers couldn't do in 89. They won a playoff game.
Yeah, I know the Pirates took a step back that year, but go back even further into the early 80s. The Steelers made the playoffs in 83. They made the playoffs in 82. They didn't fare well in either game. The Pirates still had players left over from the 79 team, so they hadn't completely bottomed out yet.
Well, the Pirates do have one analog right now to the late 80s that you said was a good thing. They have the preeminent pitcher in the sport, but I can't even feel good about
that.
He's
one man.
Because I don't feel like they're going to make any effort and have made any effort to surround him with players.
Exactly.
That get people
He's
excited.
One man. The Angels had Ohtani and Trout on their roster for years and did bupkis with it. So you don't have parades for one or two guys or even winning seasons necessarily. Donnie said Grimm. Dude, this sucks. We're
in
a super
like
dark place.
Actually, I can't even make fun of them.
Their basketball team's
their basketball
in first
team's
place.
The best team in the NBA.
And their baseball team was in the ALCS last year.
Yeah, it's actually worse. It's worse.
It's the Pittsburgh Sports Twilight Zone.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination.
Not quite wondrous.
Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Can Jari play quarterback?
Think about the way that they botched that situation, by the way. Remember when it looked like the Penguins were flush with goalies?
They had
Murray, Jari, and Gustafson. Gustafson got traded for Derek Brassard, who came here and basically was...
Quit.
Yes.
He didn't want to play here.
Was like a Debbie Downer who like hated his role with the team and sucked the life out of the guys around him. Gustafson has gone on. Now he's a team removed, but the Wild is really good with Fleury, and they make up a really good goalie tandem, and they're in position to, you know, compete in the Stanley Cup playoffs again this year. They dumped Fleury in the expansion draft. Everybody has opinions on that after the fact, saying the Penguins blew it, and I guess they did. Because they went with Murray. They signed him to a 3-year extension. That didn't work. And then when Murray turned into a pumpkin in the playoffs, they went with Jari.
Don't worry, we have this guy Jari. He's even more talented than Murray. It's the Moneyball scene. Here's his one fatal flaw. Games are 60 minutes long, and he tends to play 58 decent ones.
60 minutes? How about the way he performs in the
worse.
First minute?
Pony, it's got, well, that's
He's
one of the
given
bad...
given up goals
Pony,
on
that's
the
one
first
of the bad
shot
minutes.
Six times.
Pony, that's one of the bad minutes for him, the first one. You know how many shots the Kraken had in the first period yesterday, Donnie? Do you know?
Two.
Three.
They had two. Do you know which shot they scored on in the first period?
First one.
Second one. He changed it up on us. A parting gift as his ass gets sent to the hinterlands. No, it's really bad.
I don't know who starts the games worse, Tristan Jarry or the Steelers.
Maybe he was consulting on the side with Mike Tomlin. The worst part about it all is, forget about the Pirates here for a second, both of the two teams that are the most successful seem to have like intractable situations with the head coach, ones that aren't moving. The Mikes are beloved. Art Rooney loves Mike Tomlin no matter what happens, and Fenway Sports Group loves Mike Sullivan no matter what happens.
I had somebody make a great point about Sullivan too. Again, just so, like furthering the point that he's entrenched as the head coach of the Penguins. Not that I even think that changing would make the team better, but it's worked for other teams.
It's worked for them twice, yep. Including with Mike Sullivan.
He's the Four Nations U.S. coach, and I think he's the Olympics coach. They're not firing somebody that has such esteemed positions within the game.
That's what we said. Yeah. I mean, we knew the second he got that Olympic job, we knew that he was going to be here for the longer haul. But I don't even think, even if those weren't true, Pony, I don't get any sense from anybody that covers the team that there's any ownership unhappiness there. It's they have turned into the Steelers. Hey, we're the Penguins. That's good
That's
enough.
That's the Spider-Man mean. And it all starts with the fact that both teams suck ass at the sport's two most important positions. The Steelers don't have a guy. The Penguin situation is worse because they thought they had a guy. Now I sound like Vinny Ricicci. They paid him to be the guy, and he ain't the guy.
You think he's the guy. You pay him like he's the guy. Turns out he's not the guy.
He's bottom five in goals above average, which is a fancy stat that basically compares him to like what the run-of-the-mill goalie would do. And he has the second lowest save percentage among goalies that are deemed their team starter.
Here's a stat from Gretz last night. Adam Gretz has been all over
this. I thought you meant Wayne Gretzky when you said that.
Yes, my friend Gretz and not Adam Gretz.
That's what Paul Bissonnette calls him.
Gretz?
Gretz.
Mm. Didn't Paul Bissonnette just buy an ECHL team? I think he did. He and a couple other guys in Greensboro that's going to start. Anyway...
Bring Paul Bissonnette back to the Penguins. That make their games more entertaining.
They gave up, I think Adam Gretz tweeted it, that they gave up four high-danger chances yesterday, like what in hockey terms you would call quality scoring chances that have a higher likelihood of being goals, right? When you give up that many, there's a ratio or whatever, right?
That actually seems like a low number to me.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you, they outshot them badly, and most of the shots were not considered.
They've outplayed their last two opponents,
danger.
And they've lost both games because their goalie blows.
When you give up the four high-danger chances they gave up yesterday, and he said this before the empty netter, the expected goals for your opponent at that point is 1.2. They had given up at that point 3.
Yep.
And so that tells you everything. Jari was basically two goals worse than like an average goalie in that situation.
Donnie, are we overdoing it? Can you remember it being this bad?
No, not at all, because I feel like over the course of my life, we're about at 30 years now, in October it will be, I feel like even when there is one team or two teams that are bad, there's at least one to bring them out of the mud, and we don't have that right now.
And it's not like any team feels like it's on the ascent. That's the other team. That's the other thing, where it's a situation in which a team is like, on the other side of a rebuild and ready to do some pretty cool things. The Steelers are stale. The Penguins are stale. And I just don't see the moves from the Pirates that make me feel like they're inclined to do better than be a losing team, unfortunately, even with the best athlete in the city.
Of the Steelers and Penguins, which team do you think is in better position moving forward to eventually dig out of this?
Oh, my God.
Here's the problem,
Oh,
Tony.
My God.
Here's the problem. Here's how I would answer
I would
my
say
own
the
question.
Steelers.
Well, I would answer it this
Maybe
way.
Maybe they'll trip and fall into a good quarterback.
I actually think Kyle Dubas, despite making two horrible big-ticket moves to start his tenure here, I do think he understands the situation facing him and is trying to get to make moves that reflect an understanding of that situation. I genuinely don't know what the Steelers, who should be closer roster-wise to this, should be.
Does he understand the assignment?
I think he does.
He
I think
came here and he signed Ryan Graves to a long-term deal, locked up
Tony,
Tristan Jarry.
I just said they were two horrible moves. His short-term moves have sucked.
Okay,
those were short-term
moves. How about
Eric
Carlson? You didn't name him.
He's just average.
He's their highest paid player.
I'm saying he's average.
Who's average? Carlson or Dubas?
Carlson is an average hockey player, and he only was going to go to one place. Like, are you going to tell Dubas don't make the deal? I'd blame the
coach. If you're a rebuilding team, yes.
He got orders from his ownership group that they were not a rebuilding team. I at least think he is trying to do the assignment at this point now to the best of his ability. I don't think he started the assignment very well. He didn't have to sign Jari or could have put his foot down and said, this guy's not good. But he didn't do that. My point is, I think he, on some level, understands what he's up against. I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are nominally closer to being, I think, competitive again, even think that there are problems.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Penguins placed Tristan Jarry on waivers. That means he's going to be sent down to the minor leagues. That's what that means. Maybe never to be heard from again. Who knows? But with so much money left on the contract... for now, they're just saying they can't tolerate it or put up with it anymore. That would 99% of the time be the A1 story for this hockey franchise. It's not, because their all-world player, a future Hall of Famer, one of the best Russian hockey players, best hockey players period of all time, got his house broken into over the weekend. Evgeny Malkin, and all three of his Stanley Cup rings were stolen. And he becomes the latest high-profile professional athlete to have his home burglarized. Patrick Mahomes had this happen to him in Kansas City. Joe Burrow, when he was playing that Monday night game in Dallas a couple of months ago.
Was Luka Doncic
Luka Doncic is another one, yep, in Dallas. A memo went out from the FBI saying that this is a result of what they're calling transnational South American theft groups. Transnational South American theft groups. So burglars, professional burglars from possibly Brazil or Chile.
Didn't somebody say
Argentina?
Venezuela?
Okay, this is going to be a dumb question. Is Venezuela Central America or South America?
That is a dumb question. I'm not even going to answer.
I think it's Central America, right?
It's not.
No?
Tony. Central America, you're talking about your Panama,
Colombia.
No, South America.
Colombia, South America, right.
Panama,
that's where the cocaine and coffee comes from, and maybe burglars.
Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Belize, Honduras, Guatemala. That's your Central America.
Okay.
Now, well, when we talk like Suriname, now we're getting into South America. Donnie, you know where Suriname is in South America?
I'm doing a whole segment on that tonight at 7:25.
Listen tight for Donnie. More.
Yeah,
you know,
Charlie and I are going to break all that down.
You just got it in your rundown. Suriname.
So these
facts.
Professional burglars are targeting pro athletes.
I heard somebody give advice to these pro athletes that actually seems very smart. I said it on the sports call last night, even though people are probably like, what's he talking about? They're saying that a lot of these theft rings are able to target these houses and find out where they are in the first place because these people have the houses registered in their own names. And they're saying, like, if you are that rich, your house should be like on property records, just registered to like a holding company that has no overt connection to your, like, your name or who you are. You know what I mean?
Couldn't they also, though, just hack into, I don't know, any kind of major delivery service?
Well, then
find out.
Shouldn't the delivery service then be liable? Like, if your systems are the ones getting hacked into.
Yeah, true, but I would just, I'm hypothesizing this is a very high-tech.
But what if, well, hold on a second. If you're burgling, if you're doing all this burgling, if you're the Hamburglar, and you're doing all this stuff, don't you just pay, like, the $30 to, if you have to do, like, a record search to be able to, like, access real estate records in an area?
Probably.
That's cheaper than hacking it.
But then from there, how do they case it? Once they find out where the house is.
Isn't it as easy as finding out when the player's on a road trip and just watching cars?
Yeah, but the security systems at these homes you think
well,
would be so sophisticated.
That's where the sophistication comes in, Pony. I think that's the part that's very high tech, you know, like the Italian job or something like that.
The Italian job?
Your Ocean's what Elevens.
The Italian job.
I think that's where the tech comes in, but I think that could be very easy for them to find out.
What's
who
that movie
where.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones and Connery?
Oh no, yeah, Entrapment.
Yeah. Aren't they moving around and burglarizing things?
She's moving around through a laser light show at one point in that movie for sure.
With clothes on?
A cat suit.
Hmm.
Cat burglar suit. No, she's just stark naked in the movie, just trying to dodge a laser trap system.
Little before Donnie's time.
Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah. Too soon,
before
too early
time?
For Donnie.
I know the name. I haven't seen the movie, though.
Oh, she gets entrapped, all right.
Here's Chris in Newcastle. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what are they going to do at quarterback? Like, who is out there that they could bring in and then magically
sounded like Justin Fields
winning?
Yesterday. Sounded just like Fields.
I'm not. What about, like, a Dak?
The Cowboys would have to eat $125 million in dead cap space if they traded him.
Oh, yeah, because I find it. But is there anyone
He's also the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
In the NFL.
You would not feel comfortable paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year to lose in the first round of the playoffs like you've been doing for the last eight seasons, Chris.
Yeah. So there's nobody that you think you could realistically get that's not Russell Wilson, that's not Justin Fields, that could come in here and win right away.
Do you want Kirk Cousins for a song? Because he's probably getting released.
One
of the prerequisites for playing quarterback is being able to move confidently, and I can't say that Kirk Cousins checks that box.
There's another, like I told you, has it ever been worse here? Listen to the noises, the guttural sounds that were coming from Chris in Newcastle.
Maybe they could get that transnational South American burglary ring to kidnap somebody else's quarterback.
That happened in a movie, Celtic Pride.
I actually knew that.
Damian Wayans got kidnapped. He was
Damon
the star.
Wayans.
Damon Wayans. He was the star player for the Utah Jazz.
Good movie. Dan Aykroyd.
The guy from Home Alone.
Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Here's Howard next. Hello, Howie.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
You talked about, is the sports scene bleak? It certainly is. But I would submit to you that the mid to late 80s was a little worse.
In 84, they went to the AFC Championship game, and they also drafted Mario. around that time.
They did, but that was the last, probably the last year or two of all the Hall of Famers.
How old are you, Howard?
60.
Okay, so you're a lot older than us. Like, I was not born in 84. I'm an 85 baby. Pony's 86. Like, and obviously sports talk wasn't what it is now back then. You were reading the paper. You know, maybe you were getting like an anchor was giving like a monologue about the state of a team, but didn't it feel like there was some hope coming off of an AFC title game appearance and having drafted Mario? Didn't it feel like, especially with Mario, like, hey, we might be getting something here. This guy,
exactly.
He's the player everybody wanted.
What a great, and he was amazing right from the very beginning.
Well, I went to church with Tom Chokin, and he always called it the glory years or the 80s. He missed the glory years. You think about it, they didn't see the Penguins first, you know, won in 91, but the 80s were terrible.
Yes, they did not have great wins and losses, but they won a playoff series, I want to say, in 89. I think they beat the Rangers in 5 games, if I'm not mistaken, and then got knocked out by Philly.
Yeah, so, the 80s were dominated by Philly just owning them every time they saw them.
Okay, so it wasn't as bad as it is now. You had Mario to look forward to and
they
hope
just,
with.
The trajectory was clearly on the way up for them. It was, and then they won cups.
And yes,
and the Pirates had a stumble year, but then their trajectory was ultimately
relative
up.
To the 1970s, the 80s were not fun for the Steelers. But they made the playoffs in 83. They made the playoffs in 84
Pony,
and went
people,
to the AFC Championship
Pony, people
game.
People are losing all sense of perspective here. Hold on. They were Super Bowl champion. They were crowned their fourth Super Bowl championship early in 1980, just on the calendar, 1979 season. Then very early in, I would imagine, 85 or very late in 84, they were playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. So that is 5 years later at most,
mm-hmm.
About 5 years later. Within 5 more years, they had still won a playoff game.
And they came close to beating John Elway in Denver right after that.
24-23, a game I'm sure could have, well, if I would have let you do this, would have been on your Steelers' most interesting games you could watch on YouTube.
I went back and watched 79 divisional round
terrific.
Steelers and Dolphins last night.
Anyway, I'm just trying to put this in perspective because I think we lose some sense of it. I'm not counting off 8-year gaps of things happening that are somewhat positive for them.
And the segment is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is out. True Brew Brewing's Polyphonic and the sales support of the American Cancer Society. All right, what an eventful 24 hours for the Penguins. Let's start with Tyler Kennedy, Penguins Stanley Cup champ, Penguins analyst. Let's start with the big news, Tyler, that about a half hour ago, the Penguins placed Tristan Jarry on waivers. Your thoughts?
Well, one, it's... You know, I think after last night, after kind of the whole year as a whole and everything he's went through, I think it was time for him to be put on waivers or just move on in general. I just think, you know, he's been struggling for a couple years now trying to find his game. And it was time, you know, especially this time of year. Like, these are extremely important games. And you know, Tristan Jarry, I think he's a good goalie. He just couldn't find it here, you know, because he went to an all-star. He does have talent. He does have the skill. But I just think he needs a change of scenery. He needs a fresh start.
Well, he's not going to get it because the waivers thing is just going to send him down to the American League, Tyler. No one's going to take that contract. So he's just going to be stuck.
You never know. When you look at the other contracts around the leagues of top, you know, quote-unquote starters, they're making $11 million, some of the top guys. And he's making, what, 5.5? That's what some backups are making. So I don't know about that. I think you might get someone to take a chance. But even he went down to AHL and found his game. You know, the biggest thing, guys, like when you get put on waivers, it's a gut shot. You know, it's hard on you because they're pretty much saying we don't want you. You know, it's hard on your confidence, and it does affect you. And, you know, on the other side, like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I think some other goalies have went through this, and hopefully he comes, you know, out on the other side bigger, better, and stronger, and a better goalie. But just being put on waivers, guys, it's tough. Doesn't matter the money you're making. It's tough. You know, I haven't been put on waivers, but I was traded before because I wasn't doing well, and it's tough on you.
TK, I want to know this. How you say change of scenery for him sounds like it's going to be what he needs to try to harness whatever he can be in the NHL. How much blame do you put on the Penguins, the guys skating in front of him, and the style that they have played really for a very long time for some of his struggles or any of his struggles?
Well, when you think of when Jari came in, that was kind of at the start of the downslope after they won, right? We've kind of put all of our eggs in the bucket. We've won the two cups. Then he comes in, and they just don't have as strong a team as they did in 16, 17, 18, you know? So they definitely didn't help him. And you look at last night, like some of those chances, like Oleksiak's goal coming down Broadway with no pressure, guys kind of like trying to get out of the way, like get a body, try to get a stick. You know, I don't think they really helped them, but
I don't think he helps them by giving up a goal in the first shot in every effing game, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's played well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, hey, but I don't think the Penguins have helped him either. I think the management, you know, bringing him back after a trip, sending him down to the A, trying to, you know, he's had his chances and he hasn't recovered, you know. So now it's like, okay, now it's time to trade you. But, you know, when you think of the beginning of this year, like how many 2-on-1s did the Penguins give up in, you know, the first month and a half?
A million, yes.
But, you know, again, that's a tough start for a goalie. But when you think of how many goals in the first shot, like
six.
That alone is like mind-boggling. Being a player and getting behind the eight ball right away in a game, it's just like, oh, here we go.
Is that
again.
A mental
like,
thing? When you see it happen that much? Bad. TK, when you see a guy have that many first shot goals, how much of that to you as an observer is mental versus physical?
It's got to be mental, you know, because you can see after they score, he is like in his own head. You can see in his eyes, he's trying to like do like almost like mental like training where he's like, okay, it happened, big deal. You know, you can see it in his eyes. He's trying to figure out how to get back to playing, you know, a goalie for the rest of the game. And, you know, I think he was in his head a lot, especially after the two or three, you know, first shot, first goal. Like, that is hard to overcome. And especially with hockey, like, what's so good about it is, like, when you're on a hot streak, you can stay on a hot streak for a while. But when you're on a bad streak, it goes the same way. It's hard to get out of that bad streak unless you have, like, a break, like a Christmas break or, like, you know, this Four Nations break. You can kind of break it a little bit. But those roles of, you know, the roles that you get on during the year, they can last a long time. You know, you look at O'Connor. He struggled for, like, what, almost 30 games not scoring? Like, you get in your own head, and it's hard to get out because you do play a lot of games.
Tyler Kennedy, Penguin Stanley Cup champ. Tristan Jarry. Being sent down really through waivers. We'll see if a team claims him. If they do, I think the Penguins would love that because it would open up a lot of money for them and give them a fresh start. TK, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, boys.
There you go.